Good morning. Can you hear me well? Okay, praise the Lord. So after seeing this wonderful, gorgeous building, I feel that I'm standing inside heaven. So I do not know when was the last time you heard a sermon from an Indian from this pulpit. You may not, but I'm not Jeff, your pastor. So I speak four languages. So also I have an accent. So you need to give special attention when I speak. I cannot speak fast like your pastor, Jeff. If I speak, so that would be in tongues. So in that case, I speak slowly so that you can give attention when I'm through my sermon. So it is again a great privilege to be here with you this Sunday. I know everything happens in our life with a purpose. So I got a call from, this week, I think, from Pastor Jeff that he gave me a very short notice to come and preach. I'm always, like a 911, people just call, we go and help the churches and fill their pulpits. Then I told Pastor Jeff I would be using one of my old sermons. He said that would be fine. But I understand that there is no expiration date for God's word. So when you look into the Old Testament, when God called Israelites, and during the time he was giving them the physical food, manna. So when he gave that to the manna, just like for older people, that kind, that was a oatmeal. I mean, that was easy to digest for them. For the youth, that was a protein meal for them. For the children, that was maybe cereal or baby food. But then difference was the person, how they take that food, the food will work in their body according to their need. So maybe today God's word is going to work in your life. If you prayerfully submit, His Spirit will work through you, and that will fulfill the need, the spiritual need in your life. So I bring greetings from the holy land of Lancaster. We live in Lancaster. I just give a little bit update of Mary and myself. We both are from south part of India, the place called Kerala. That's the place, if you do not know, AD 52, Thomas, one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, he came and he preached the gospel. And we were one of that first hearers of gospel. But if you do not believe in that, but I can prove that through the Indian church history, but that would be in another time. So we are from the south part of India. We grew up there. Then after that, as part of my work, I ended up in Saudi Arabia. So even though I was born and brought up in a nominal Christian home, I became a committed Christian through an underground church in Saudi Arabia. So that is my long conversion story in a short form. Okay. So, but today I'm glad that with the power of His gospel, I'm here. I always tell people that even 1940s and 50s, United States of America sent many missionaries to northern part of India, and they preached the gospel, and so we received the message of gospel. Many people converted from their idol worship to the true gospel. Maybe today India is sending back, you know, as a gratitude, their people to United States, just like me and Mary as missionaries to, you know, preach the gospel in the streets and alleys of United States. So we are working as missionaries with the evangelism explosion. So what we do, we teach evangelism and equip churches with evangelism, and also we do evangelism. That means every week we go to the streets and we go to the college campuses, we go to the neighborhood, and we take some like-minded people. We share the gospel. Is that wonderful? Maybe if your church, you don't have that kind of pattern of reaching out to your community with the gospel of the Jesus Christ, maybe you need to think about that. So, thank you again for having me over here. I thank you for the elders and the leadership of this church for giving me this great opportunity to be here. John Bramblett is the only blind muralist in the world today. Bramblett is known for his bright colors and a style that is a mixture of impression combined with the modern feel of pop art. He began painting after losing his sight in 2001 at the age of 30. After a series of severe seizures, he fell into a deep depression until he found painting as his hobby. He managed to distinguish two different colors by feeling their textures. Today he is, I think, 51 or 52. Somebody asked him, "How do you see the colors?" And he said, "I see through the eyes of my heart." So today I just wanted to invite you to Ephesians chapter 1. There Paul is praying for his believer church, Ephesus church, and ask God to open the heart of their eyes. So please open with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 17 to 19. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 19. This is the holy, inerrant, and sufficient word of God. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His great might. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Would you please pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank you. Our Comforter, Counselor, Holy Spirit, we thank you. Triune Lord, we ask you that. As we are preparing to hear from your word, the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We ask this in your Son's name. As we come to the the book of Ephesians, we know that Paul was the author, and he wrote this around AD 62 to 69, during that period. But today, this Ephesus is located in western banks of modern Turkey. So when I was going through this text, I could see that this is an outline of a pastoral prayer. So today I have divided this into three points. It's very easy to remember. I put three P's in it: the prominence of Paul's prayer, the purpose of Paul's prayer, and the power of Paul's prayer. So when we come to the verse 17, we read that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. As I was going through this, I was thinking, what was that Father of glory? We know that glory is one of the attributes of our God. It is a divine glory. So glory speaks of the awesomeness of God. And the Father signifies the approachability to the Father. So here we see that God is the source of a splendor which produces the light. That light opens, that light can open our heart. Even 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 18, we read that, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. So one day we will see his glory face to face. But also when you come to Acts chapter 7 verse 55, we see that there, Stephen, he is seeing the glory of God. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. So here we see that in a difficult situation, in between a violent mob, Stephen was seeing the glory of God. When he was attacked by a mob, by stoning, in between his difficult situations, he can visualize the glory of God. So watching God's glory on a daily basis, that's the victory of a Christian. And when we come into John chapter 17, 24, our Lord Jesus prayed, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." So dear friends, so we are called to see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are we really seeing his glory in a daily basis? So then we come over here, Paul is praying. He prays that the Ephesian believers, they are the new believers, very young in their faith, they should have the spirit of wisdom. The word he uses over here comes from Sophia. That's that means the deep, the wisdom of the deep things of God. To know and see the deep things of God. The spiritual insight. He prays that the church may have that deeper understanding of God. How does it happen? It happens through the study of Word. It happens through the meditations of His Word. Basically, he was desiring they should have an illumination of the word. The illumination comes through the Holy Spirit. It's not when the Holy Spirit comes, it is not giving you a new information, or it is not giving you a fresh revelation of the word. It is actually giving the new insight from the word of God. Paul, that's the same thing. Even Psalmist prayed, the word, a lamp to my feet and the light to my path. So again, we see that Paul's desire for the church. As I was reading and studying this word, maybe today as a church, what is our desire? We may have other physical and other needs of the day, but moreover, what is our ultimate purpose, ultimate need? Do we need to pray for a spiritual illumination? When we come into Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, even 700 years before Jesus' birth, the prophet Isaiah was prophesying, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, that is on Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Maybe today, that's the same prayer, that's the same word is applicable to us through our Lord and Jesus Christ. So Paul is really praying for a special manifestation of the Spirit so that they will have a spiritual insight. John chapter 16 verse 13, but when he, the Spirit of the truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10 through 16, we see that there Paul says, the Holy Spirit will help you to search the deep things of God. Then again, Paul continues his praying. After the spiritual wisdom, they will have the revelation are in the knowledge of him. It is not a new revelation. It is a revelation already given. They should understand through the illumination of the Spirit. A better knowledge of Jesus Christ. What is our knowledge of Jesus Christ? The knowing refers not to an abstract knowledge, not a superficial knowledge. The knowledge here mentioned is an intimate knowledge of Jesus Christ. To understand his character, his glory. Sometimes we see that today, people always talk about Jesus as a friend, but they forgot to understand he is a resurrected king. If I want to know someone, what should I do? I need to spend time with that person. So we had a wonderful workshop yesterday. In our workshop, that was in Allentown, PA. So one of the person in that workshop, her name is Andrea. She was asking, how can I share the gospel to one of my workers? And she is rejecting the gospel. I said, you cannot do anything. You need to pray for that person. Unless God himself initiates No one can come to the Father. So her heart is for bring that person in. I said, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Even though each week when we go to the street, we share the gospel, we are seeing many people come to the knowledge of Christ. We always tell people, this is not because of our eloquency, or this is not because of our knowledge how to share the gospel. It is because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So only even if a person want to come to God should initiate that work, the regeneration of the Spirit. So we need to pray to have more knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even when you come into Paul's life in Philippians chapter 3:10, what was his desire? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his suffering, becoming like him in his death. That was his deep desire to know Jesus more and more closer. So today, how much time? We are living in a world. We value time as money. We do not have time to spend for. Maybe there are many people in our own family. They do not know Jesus the way they're supposed to know. We have many friends in our workplace, but how can we give that light of knowledge to them? So we need to spend time to know them, then we need to spend time to give and transfer the light of Jesus Christ to them. So then we come to the verse 18. Here Paul, after speaking the prominence of his prayer, we see that when we come, the purpose of Paul's prayer, verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? When you come over here, you see that there is a twofold purpose Paul is talking about. So one is the purpose of their own calling. Maybe that's the calling. Maybe you can ask. You and me can ask, Lord, what is the purpose? You call me into this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing is asking the richness of his inheritance in the believers. So when you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you come to the knowledge of salvation, God gives us a great inheritance. Where he inherited the richness of inheritance. That's the word of uses over here. We need to understand how blessed we are by receiving that heavenly blessings to us. You know, as part of evangelism, every week when we go, we ask two questions to people. The first question is, we always ask, have you come in your spiritual life where you know for sure if you were to die today, you go to heaven? Then we ask them, hey, suppose you die today, you are standing before God and God is asking you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? The most of the time, people, they do not have any idea. But then after some people, they are hearing first time. But after hearing this question, they say that this is a very profound question. Maybe that day onwards, they think that they are not created for this world. They are created for eternity. We all are just like. We are sojourners. We are going through this earth to eternity. So then we understand. Then we can understand, hey, we have a better place. You don't need to worry about anything. Sometimes, when we see people in the street, they think that, they never thought about they are going to die. the way they live, they always think that they are going to be here forever. But when we encounter with the gospel, when we encounter with these two questions, they say, "Hey, yeah, that's a good question. We never thought about that." So we always have many opportunities to ask these questions to Hindus, Muslims, Buddhists, and many other religious faith people. So after hearing that question, they are thinking about their eternity. So maybe today we need to give that eternal hope to our brothers and sisters. And during the time of COVID, we never stopped our weekly evangelism. We see many people, they are depressed and discouraged in the street. But when we talk about them, when we talk about the heaven, when we talk about the hope of the Word of God, we could see that their discouraged spirit enlightened with the hope of the gospel. So here Paul is praying. In order to understand the purpose, one thing should happen first. The eyes of the heart should be enlightened. The meaning is to illuminate our vision. You know that our eye is a biological machine in our body. It is made over 40 different components and a number of subcomponents. If any one of these components fails, it affects our vision. Our eyes are connected to brain. So whatever we see, it records in our brain. Just like a computer keyboard, it has to be connected to the monitor. Our physical eyes are connected to the brain, and the spiritual eyes are connected to the heart. Only God can open this spiritual eyes. Once I had an opportunity to share the gospel to a Hindu Punjabi man. So when I was talking to him, he was understanding everything through his head knowledge, not from the heart. I told him, "Hey, brother, you need to remove that distance, the 13 inches distance from your heart to your head. Then only you will get it. You need to get it through your heart." I prayed for him more than 3 months. Then after 3 months, one night, he just called me, "Hey, brother, I got what you meant." I said, "You come over 9:30 in the night." He came to my home. I explained the gospel again, shared the gospel again. We prayed together. He knelt down and we prayed. He received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Then later he asked me, he wanted to get baptized. We did that. Then he opened his home for a Bible study. He stayed with us 3 years. Then he went back to UK. He was born and brought up in UK. Now he's attending a church in UK. What my point is, you know, sometimes people are caught up in their head knowledge. But here Paul is praying for your heart. The eyes of your heart needs to be opened. And when you look into the Paul's conversion, we know that Acts chapter 10, 18, and immediately something like his scales fell off from his eyes and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized. The scales falling from his life was a symbol of the spiritual transformation. After that incident, Paul sees Jesus as a different person. Maybe this should happen every person's life before conversion. I know you and me, we know that vision. We know that knowledge. But my request is, please should not take it as granted. There are many around our vicinity, our community, they do not know this light. Their eyes are blinded by lies of this world. unless and until where we go and talk, they should not know. So I encourage you to do it. So we know that every man is naturally born blind and need to be born again in the spirit. So once I was in an evangelism teaching, one PCA elder asked me, hey, in evangelism, how, when we go and talk, how the election happens? I told that brother, when you come out from your comfort zone, you get out from your comfort zone and you go and share the gospel, you meet a person in the street or wherever in his respective places, you meet him, you ask the questions, and then you share the gospel, that place, if we make a profession of faith, that is the election. God is going to use you and me. Jesus said, I came to this world to seek and save the lost. We cannot save, but we can seek and we can share the gospel. In that place, we can see that the man's blinded eye can open and they can receive the truth of the gospel. John chapter 9, 41, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains. Look at the blind man at Bethsaida, Mark chapter 8, 24. And he looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Sometimes we all have this blurred vision. We see the things just like trees, not in a clear vision. When I was actually reading that particular healing story, we see that Jesus was healing that person in a stage-by-stage basis. Jesus could have given a direct healing and he could have seen everything very clear. But you see that at first stage, he saw everything in a blur, but then he could see that everything in a clear. So how is our spiritual vision today? If we are not seeing him clearly, we need to ask the Lord for an enlightening heart. Ask him to remove the scales of our doubts. Then we come into the text. We see that Paul praying, know the hope of a calling. What is the hope of their call? As a Christian, our call is initiated from our God. We know that a dead man cannot respond to anything. He cannot cooperate with any kind of call. Just like a Lazarus. You know that story when even Jesus had to call him, hey, Lazarus, come out. Then only he could respond to Jesus' call. So everything happens from God. So after praying for a clarity of their hope, here again, Paul is praying for the understanding of their glorious inheritance. This is an inheritance clearly meant over here, a lawful inheritance. That is, whatever we all have, maybe our parents' inheritance come through us. This is when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, it is a guarantee you are a son of God, you are a child of God, you are a child of, and then you will have an inheritance that is actually coming from, that's a promise coming from God's word. This demonstrates we are valuable for God's call. We are valuable in God's eyes. Hebrews chapter 11, 8, it says, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You see that he did not know where, what was that inheritance. But we could see that his obedience. So let me come to the last point. To understand the power behind Paul's prayer, verse 19. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his greater might? Sometimes as Christians, we do not understand the power behind us. The power what the word giving to us. The power to overcome the darknesses of this world. So here Paul is praying the immeasurable greatness of power. I mean, when we study the background of Ephesus, it was a center of a black magic. So some people were promoting these powers for wealth, happiness and success in marriage. So most Ephesians followed superstitions and practiced the sorcery. But those who believed in Christ renounced these sins and burned their occult in public bonfire. That's Acts chapter 19, 18 and 19, we see that. So this is the background Paul is praying for, to know the power of God. Maybe today in our culture, we see that these kind of practices. I come from India. Even northern part of India, we have a lot of these kind of encounters. So this is the power. So working, the working in the conversion of a sinner. I always see that one of the greatest miracle, always say, a sinner come to faith from a dead of their transgressions and the sins, when he come to know the through the power of the Holy Spirit, and that give him a ability to confess and repent of his sins, and then he get a rebirth. So this is the power which raised our Lord Jesus Christ from death. So when we come over here, this power is irresistible. We cannot do anything. All the soldiers and the high priest could not keep the body of Jesus Christ in the tomb. No one can no one can resist that power. So this is the power. If we have this power, are we afraid to go out and talk about Jesus? So at last, Paul explains specifically of this power. It is an ongoing power. So when we look into the original language, they uses three Greek words of nouns over here. You know, I mean, I just wanted to let you know in this way. Suppose you have a 5-liter Mustang sports car. So that is actually the manufacturer made the car with 5-liter engine. That's the inherited power in that. But then when you turn the key on, the engine runs. Then you can see, you can hear that the power, you know, the power is running. Okay. But then you push the pedal, that machine runs. So these are the three words, but in the Greek used out there. I mean, that's we can see that. That's a great power. You have the power. But most of the time, as Christians, we do not use our power. We know that. We have the machine, the 5-liter machine built, but we are sitting idly in the pews. Sometimes we just turn the key on, but we always, we do not want to push the pedal. An intimate knowledge of God enables us to experience the incredible greatness of God's power. Sometimes we need to turn that engine on and push the gas pedal. That can change. I remember once I was in street evangelism. I saw a Saudi man in the street. But when I was in Saudi, I was not able to share the gospel to him because it was totally banned. But when he was here, I had opportunity to talk and share. At the end, he received a gospel of John in Arabic. I talked to him. But later he appreciated that. He asked questions. He asked why Christians sing songs. Why the gratitude? Why? But that was a great moment. I could use the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the hope of Jesus Christ, the inheritance of my Christian life to transfer to him through words and give him that hope one day in his life. So today, maybe as an application, I just wanted to ask you, as you read these words, maybe you can change your name over here. As we read that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of my heart enlightened, that I may know what is the hope to which he has called me, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward me who believe, according to the working of his great might. Maybe that's a prayer you can pray. That's a prayer you can pray for your children. That's a prayer you can pray for a new believer. Most of the time we see that today there are many false gospels. Because of that, many people are misguided. The prosperity gospel. People are always actually looking for their pleasures of their current time. But then we are created for eternity. How would you pray? As we conclude, I just wanted to pray from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where is our hope? Where is our inheritance? Where is our power in Jesus Christ? So let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where we see that Paul was praying for a wisdom. Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. So these are things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depth of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of the person which is in me? Only the spirit can reveal yourself. When we need to understand, if you want to know the knowledge of God, at first we should have an understanding about ourselves. We know, I need to know about myself. I am limited. I am born in a time frame. Maybe my time is, I have a birthday and birth date, and that is going to end one point. But if we want to understand the revelation of God, I need to understand He is the Creator. There is no limit. There is no time. So that's the place where we need to come first to know Him in a deeper way. So maybe at this point, I was talking all this prayer. I was talking about all this spiritual inheritance all belong to believers. But here today, if anyone here without knowing Jesus as his personal Savior, maybe this is time God is calling you into that great knowledge, into that great hope, into that greater power to know, maybe today. If you are not yet put your trust in Jesus Christ, maybe this is the day Jesus is calling you to know His power, know the inheritance what He saved for you. If you need help, maybe after this service you can contact one of the church elders. Maybe they can lead you into that knowledge of hope. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving your Son who came from heaven to this earth. He lived a very perfect life without sin. He died on the cross for us and me. He rose from the dead and He paid all the penalties of my sin and the sin of this world. And He purchased a place for us in heaven. What a great, glorious hope what we have today. By understanding that knowledge through a saving faith, Lord, you have given us a great hope. You have given us your power, the wonder-working power. You have offered us a great inheritance for your saints. We thank you. We thank you for this wonderful gospel. We thank you for this wonderful church. We know you are the head of the church. You will never leave or forsake your church. But you are expecting your bride, your church, in an unblemishable way. Help us to live a life with the purity of your word. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.